is from 7th chapter of Acts, verses 55 through 60. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Stephen gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they covered their ears and with a loud shout all rushed together against him. Then they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. And the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he knelt down and cried out in a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he died. We'll now read responsively from the 31st Psalm. In you, O Lord, have I taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness.
Incline your ear to me. Make haste to deliver me.
Be my strong rock, a castle to keep me safe, for you are my crag and my stronghold. For the sake of your name, lead me and guide me.
Take me out of the net that they have secretly set for me. You are my tower of strength.
Into your hands I commend my spirit, for you have redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth.
My times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me.
Let your face shine up on your servant. Save me in your steadfast love.
The second reading comes from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 through 10. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good, come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourself be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "See, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. To you then who believe, he is precious. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I invite you to rise as we greet the gospel today. This is the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, Show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from Christ Jesus, our Lord, who goes to prepare a room for us. Amen. I've never been particularly good at saying goodbye. Even at times when goodbye should theoretically be easy, like the social time after a meeting or event, or visiting with friends or family, I'm never quite sure when to finally finish up, when to wrap things up and say my goodbyes and make my exit. And struggling with easy goodbyes, struggling with saying goodbye to people that you know you'll see again, that you care about, makes it that much more difficult when a harder goodbye comes along. Honestly, I don't know that there's any human being who knows what it means to love and to lose that ever really has an easy time saying goodbye. Not even Jesus. Our gospel lesson today is a section of the Gospel of John, a portion of what's called the farewell discourse. Jesus thought that his disciples deserved more than just a one-word goodbye, more than just a quick hug and exit. And so, as John tells us, on the evening of the Last Supper, after they had finished the meal, he began to say his goodbye in the most tender and compassionate way that he could. And knowing what he knew, knowing that this particular goodbye was maybe not as final as some others sometimes are, Jesus was sensitive. He tried to stress that this is a little bit different. Do not let your hearts be troubled. That's where Jesus starts his goodbye. He knows the anxiety that can be caused by the act of saying goodbye and farewell, and so he starts out with a sense of calm, of reassurance. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Now, there are some people that might hear him saying, "Believe in God and believe in me," as chastising them, questioning their faith. But really, He's using it as a foundation. He's using it as a support as he builds up towards the things that he's going to say. It's almost as if he's telling them, I know that you all are faithful people. I know that you all believe in the power of God, and I'm pretty sure you believe that I am the Son of God. So please, 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 please believe everything that I'm going to tell you next. And then he describes to them heaven. He describes to them the kingdom of God. He tells them, in my Father's house, there are many rooms. These words of scripture are probably familiar to anyone who has had to say the ultimate goodbye to a loved one. This section of the Gospel of John is on the short list of scripture references that many pastors will give to family when planning a funeral service. And on the occasion that the family says, you pick what you feel is most appropriate, Pastor, this reading from John is an obvious choice. In fact, the three funerals that I did in April, all for women in their 90s, some where I picked and some where the family picked, the gospel was this for each one. Jesus' words remind us that heaven is a very special place. A place where each one of us is not only welcome, but where each one of us is specifically prepared for, where our welcoming party is specifically planned. A place where each one of us has a room prepared for us that is exactly what we need and exactly what we want. A place where our hurts and our sorrows and our pain are no more. A place where we are able to say hello to people who have gone on to heaven before us. A reminder that goodbye is never truly final. When Jesus was saying all of this with his closest friends on the night that he would be arrested, he probably wasn't anticipating that these words would be immortalized in Scripture, handed down from generation to generation, printed in booklets and given from pastor to grieving family. When Jesus was saying all of these words, they are first and foremost words of comfort and consolation from his heart. Words of grief and validation. Words that are meant to remind and affirm their faith. Words that are meant to help the disciples know that even though things were going to change, even though they would have to say goodbye, that those goodbyes would remind them of the great things that had happened in their life together with Jesus. And those goodbyes would help them carry on their ministry in his name. He comes right out and says it later on in the reading, that those who believe in me will do the same things that I did and even better. Jesus says goodbye as carefully as he can. But he still struggles with it. He knows that there will be things that are left unsaid. He knows that there will be questions that are left unanswered. But he wants to leave his disciples with a goodbye of hope rather than despair. And in doing so, he gives us words of hope for every goodbye that we ever say in our lives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. I go to prepare a room for you. And when it's time, I will come to bring you home. Thanks be to God. Amen.